1 John chapter 4. We'll finish with this theme on love, the love that's come at Christmas. 1 John 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's pray. God, we want to posture ourselves today to receive your love in new ways today. We want to posture ourselves, Lord, to be filled with the love of God. Help us to know, Lord, in what ways we can love better. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to love one another in better ways. So, Lord, I just ask that you would put power in the message and empower us today, Lord, as we think about Christmas love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, at our Christmas party last Saturday evening, several of us were sitting around the tables, and we were commenting on some of the classic Christmas movies we have seen. And it really, for many of us, it has only been within the last 5 years or so that we had ever seen It's a Wonderful Life or Holiday Inn. You remember that one? Some of you might remember that one. Or White Christmas. And some of you are familiar with the song White Christmas, but did you know that there was a movie White Christmas? And if I were to ask you what was the best-selling single in all of history, probably you wouldn't say Bing Crosby's White Christmas. You might say Elton John's Candle in the Wind in 1997. That sold 33 million copies. Or Bill Haley and the Comets. Some of you might remember Bill Haley and the Comets, who did well. It's a song called Rock Around the Clock in 1954. 25 million records sold of Rockin' Around the Clock. You might guess Whitney Houston. If you're younger, I Will Always Love You, 1992, but that was only 20 million copies. Or Elvis, how many Elvis Presley fans we have here? I know we have a few. Okay, hold your hand up high. We want to know if you like Elvis Presley. All right, Elvis Presley, It's Now or Never in 1960, sold 20 copies as well, 20 million copies. Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You, 16 million copies. Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive, 14 million copies. And the most iconic bands of all time, the Beatles, released a single called I Want to Hold Your Hand in 1963. Only 12 million copies were sold. Now, you know what's depressing? How many Beatles fans do we have? All right, so this will depress you. All right, that song, I Want to Hold Your Hand, half a million records sold less than Gene Autry's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer sold more copies than I Want to Hold Your Hand in 1963. Yeah. No. The best-selling single of all time, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, is White Christmas, sung by Bing Crosby. The estimated sales were in excess of 50 million copies. White Christmas. It was written by Isidore Balin, a Russian Jewish immigrant who fled to the United States. Most know him by the name of Irving Berlin. And as a poor street kid, Berlin started out as a Bowery boy. He's selling newspapers in Manhattan, in the slums of Manhattan. He quickly discovered that he could make more money in tips singing saloon songs on street corners. And so that's what he did. And his prolific songwriting career stemmed from there. And the entire theme of the movie White Christmas is about love. Love for a commanding officer in trouble. If you've seen it, you know this. Love for a good friend. Love between sisters. Love between a man and a woman. Love for music and dance. Love is the big idea of that film, White Christmas. And I want to ask you this morning, isn't it the big idea of Christmas? And really the Christian faith? Isn't it all about love? This is how God showed his love among us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our lives. This is the big idea of Christmas, isn't it? The love of God. And the desire to love and to be loved unconditionally in return is really within each one of us. We want that. We want to love others and we want to receive love back, don't we? And we all believe in love. And we want to be loved. And we want to believe that we're loving persons. But let's be honest, sometimes we just aren't very good at loving other people. We're just not that good. I mean, sure, we can love those who are closest to us, those who are good to us, but we often struggle with those who hate us, maybe those who criticize us, those who are different than us, those who place demands upon us, and maybe sometimes even people in need or distress. We have a hard time loving people. And the reason that we don't love all that well is because the Bible says that we have a heart problem. All of us have a heart problem. It causes us to not love all that well. The prophet Jeremiah describes the human heart this way. He said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" The heart is deceitful. And so we tend to lean into our selfish, sinful nature, and we hurt instead of heal, and we manipulate, and we criticize, and we sometimes abuse, and we ignore, and we take for granted those who are closest to us. We're just not good at loving people sometimes. I like what journalist Sidney Harris said this about love. He said, "Love is difficult to sustain, not because it's a positive emotion, but because it's a complex one. Hate is easy to maintain for a lifetime because it's a simple one. Love might be compared to the building of a tall and elaborate sandcastle, taking many hours of painstaking effort and cooperation and balance and persistence. And hate might be compared to the foot that comes along and with one vicious or thoughtless kick destroys in a moment what has been built up. With one kick. That's hate." I want you to think about 1 Corinthians 13 with me for just a moment. Think with me about love as it's described in the Bible. Love is patient. Love is kind, does not envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Ouch. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Sometimes it's difficult, isn't it, to sustain that kind of love in marriage or a friendship. Or a family relationship. We can kick a loving relationship down very quickly and very easily, can't we? We can kick it down. And instead of kindness, we can be rather unkind with our intimate circle. We let personal envy of other people plant seeds of bitterness and resentment within our hearts. And we've talked about that in weeks past, right? This whole idea of bitterness and resentment. We keep a list of wrongs, of the wrongs of others. And we remind them of those wrongs at opportune times. We do that. And God knows we get way too easily angered, don't we? With people that we know, with people that we don't know, we get easily angered with the Walmart staff. One amen back there, probably. We get easily angered with government, with management, with Facebook friends expressing their opinions. I'm meddling, if you hadn't noticed. Forgetting the fact that we are rather free with our expressions and opinions. Sin always leads us to kick down the sandcastle. Always. It leads us to kick down the sandcastle. And this is really where the good news of Christmas comes in, because Jesus came as love. He was sent and came to reveal true love to us. He was sent and came to touch us with His love. He was sent and He came to fill us with His love. He was sent and He came to change us with His love. Do we believe it? I mean, this is the plan of God. This is the gospel we preach. This is the gospel that we embrace as Christian people. God's plan was to send His Son to show us exactly how to selflessly love one another. He came to lead us into this life where true love is expressed. True love is expressed and it's given. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son as a sacrifice to atone for our sins. Since God loved us, brothers and sisters, we also ought to what? To love one another. I want you to think about Jesus. Think about His ministry on the earth. Time and time again, we see how Jesus had to be patient with His disciples. And if you've ever read the Gospels, if you read through the Gospels, you would see that Jesus had a lot of patience with those guys, didn't He? A lot of patience. We see Him exercising great patience with the religious people who postured themselves as self-righteous and who postured themselves as proud people. And He had patience with the religious people. And as we look at His life recorded in the Gospels, we see Him as being selfless and not self-seeking, don't we? And when He did get angry, it wasn't over issues. Or it was over issues, I'm sorry. Not petty offenses. He didn't get angry over those petty things, those irritations of other people that just get right underneath our skin and just make us boil. That's not the kind of thing that Jesus would do. And Jesus demonstrated to us what it looked like to be a devoted follower of the Father. He modeled a completely new and a different life of love to us. He modeled that to us. Jesus loved the person who was ethnically different, the Samaritan. True? Jesus loved the mentally broken. Jesus loved those who didn't get love right, who were very poor at loving other people. Jesus loved the cheater. Jesus loved the self-righteous person who thought he was better and smarter and wiser. Jesus elevated women instead of denigrating them like the rest of society. He loved those who were put down. Jesus loved those who wanted to deny love to other people. And so when we talk about Christmas, we need to remember that Jesus came as love. And he showed us how to love. He showed us. In fact, he said it. He says, a new command I give to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, you should love one another. As I have loved you, he says, you should also love one another. And so, you know, he came. He came to model a new way to be human. He came to demonstrate that we can love one another. But really, most importantly, Jesus came to love us when we were at our worst. And he didn't really excuse our poor attempts at love, but he also didn't let our poor track record keep him from embracing us with his grace and his love. The Apostle Paul said it this way: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still kicking the sandcastle down, Christ died for us at our worst. And so we should remember that Christmas, in its simplicity, is God pursuing us with his love at our worst. And to demonstrate to us what love really looks like. And this morning, I purposely made this a shorter message because I want to finish out this morning this way. Our whole series has been about God inviting us into some things. And any invitation that is received in the mail could be categorized as junk mail until you open it up and respond by filling out the RSVP of the invitation. I mean, an invitation does no good if you don't RSVP, right? And I think we need to start thinking in these terms as we gather on Sunday mornings, that whatever God is inviting us to, we need to tell him we're responding. God, I'm responding to you right now. And maybe that's by coming forward in prayer, or maybe that's by standing up in, you know, for prayer or responding, or maybe it's just raising your hand as a way of response. But we're doing something to RSVP to God. We're saying, God, I accept your invitation. I've heard it. I know what you're inviting me into, and I accept that invitation. And so, this morning, this is what God is inviting us into today. A couple different things. The first thing that Jesus is inviting us into is to take our mistakes at loving other people and to lay them at his feet so that he can heal them. Take those mistakes, and we all know them, right? We know what they are. And so many people, I think, live under this heavy blanket of condemnation because they messed up at loving. They messed up. They know they messed up. And they feel this heavy weight of condemnation because they messed up at maybe loving their children or loving their parents or loving their spouse or loving their friends well. And I've met so many people that believe that they've kicked the sandcastle way too many times. And Jesus won't accept them or love them. So many people like that who believe they're too far gone. I've kicked too many times and didn't really love others well. And I want to say this morning, it's not true. It's not true. The only thing that we can do is to surrender those mistakes to God and to ask Him to forgive us and to teach us to love in better ways, in ways that Jesus would love. That's the only thing that we can do. And Jesus is there welcoming, embracing, inviting. And so if you, this morning, if you live under this heavy weight of condemnation, I want to really kind of hear for what the Holy Spirit wants for us today. I'm going to ask you to just stand up today. I want to lead you through a prayer today. If you feel like you've been living under this weight of condemnation because you've not really loved others well, you've kicked the sandcastle too many times with your jealousy, your envy, or your hatred, or your deception, or your manipulation, or whatever it is that you've done, that you feel like that you've just not really loved the people that are closest to you well, you've kicked that sandcastle down. And you want to get out from underneath that weight of condemnation. I'm going to invite you just to stand right now, just where you're at, right where you're at. We got one. Just stand, if you would. I'm going to lead you in a prayer this morning. But I just invite you just to stand where you're at. It's not an admission of that you're a terrible person. It's not anything like that. But you feel like you are under a weight of condemnation. And you know what? That condemnation is not of God. It might be, you might be putting that on yourself, but the enemy also wants to put a cloak, a coat of condemnation upon you so that you'll live underneath that for the rest of your lives. Let's get rid of it. Yeah. Let's just get rid of it. Yeah. Let's just wait a little bit more. Come, Spirit of God. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We invite you, God, to minister to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's the kindness, the love of God. It's come to us through Jesus. We take off those heavy coats of condemnation today. Lord, take them off of us. Take them off, Lord. We're responding today, Lord. those of you that are responding, and maybe some of you are responding just by raising your hand and you haven't stood, but you want to pray this prayer, I just invite you to pray this prayer. Just say this with me. Jesus, I surrender to your love. Show me how to live in love. Protective, selfless, love that does not give up, love that does not give up on those closest to me. Take the weight of condemnation over my past failings, over the times that kicked the castle. I receive your love, and I want to walk in it. From this day forward, I'm not going to live under guilt or condemnation or shame. I'm going to walk in your love. Amen. Amen. You could be seated if you like, or you could stand. It doesn't matter to me. You want to keep receiving the Lord's love. But there's a second group I want to just give an opportunity for you to respond. Anybody can say, I love you. It's true. But Jesus-style love requires initiative and effort. It means helping others become better people, better followers of Jesus. And it demands our time, and it demands our money sometimes, and it demands our personal involvement. God is inviting us to be on mission, to look for people who need our love, who need His love. And God is inviting us to look for ways that we can love people unconditionally. The best way to start, the best place to start, is home. With our spouse, children, our extended family, and then we fan out to our church family, and then we get even wider to this community that we call Logansport, Cass County. But if you want to partner with God in loving people better, then I'm going to invite you to stand as well. You just want to partner with God with loving people better. We want to just pray over you today. I want to be better at just showing the unconditional love of the Father to other people. I just invite you to stand. God, just come upon us. We receive this invitation to be on mission, to take the love that you've placed within us, that deposit of love that you've given us, and to have our eyes open, our ears peeled, to know who we can share that the unconditional love of the Father with, and the love of Jesus with. Lord, help us to be on mission, a mission of love. We want to be on a mission of love, Lord. And not just this sentimental, sappy love, but we want to be on a mission with the love of God. God-styled love, Jesus-style love. Posture ourselves, Lord, with open hearts and open hands to receive a greater measure of the love of God in our hearts. God, we say that we want to make our containers bigger. If they've been small, we want them bigger. We want the container of our heart to be bigger, deeper, deeper. And fill it, God, to overflowing with your love. We don't want to be just the containers, Lord. We want to be a conduit. We want our heart to have a faucet that we can turn on. And the hot love of God would pour out onto others. And so God, we say yes to it. We accept the invitation. We're RSVPing right now. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, I want you to look to somebody today and just say this: dear friend, since God so loved me, we also ought to love one another. Huh? Since God loved you, we also ought to love one another. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you need some further prayer, if you want to just take it maybe another level deeper, or you've got some hurts, maybe somebody's kicked your sandcastle and it hurts. You've been hurt and you want to receive some prayer. You don't know how to get over it, but you need some prayer about it. I invite you to come up afterwards, and some of our prayer team, be aware and stay up here afterwards. But if you've had your sandcastle kicked over by somebody, they didn't really love all that well, and you need to get over that hurt, come up and we'll pray with you. But if you just want to make even a deeper commitment to love others better, and you want somebody to just bounce that off with, and pray with, come up as well. We'll pray with you today. But don't go without getting prayer that you need. If you need to respond, don't go without getting prayer that you need. Amen. Yeah, and just remind you of tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, our Eve before Christmas Eve service. It's always a special service. It's always such a good service, and I invite you to come back for that so we can just celebrate again the love of God. Amen? Be blessed. Get some prayer if you need it.